God, we sing that this morning. And I know it comes from various places in our hearts. For some of us, a place of desperation. For others of us, things seem to be going good, and maybe we just sing it by rote. But God, I wonder, as immersed we are in our society, if a lot of us sing it almost out of a sense that we need you because our plans aren't going well. That somehow we have bought into this idea that we are the center, we are the foundation of life, and we know best, and it's not going well. So God, we need you to bless our agendas and make it easier. And God, forgive us for that, because we also know what we sang earlier, that the breath in our lungs is from you. And if that breath comes from you, how much more sense does it make, Father, that what we do with that breath, that how we live out the life that is in that breath, is breathing in the presence and the leading and the purpose of your Holy Spirit. That's why we need you, God. Not so that we can fulfill our little plans, but that we can be aware of yours and find true life. Not in strolling through life the way culture tells us, but fulfilling the purpose you give us. Father, as we turn back into the story of your early church in the book of Acts and how this purpose ignited them to go deeper into your life, to go wider to a world that needed your life. God, we need you to free us from so many smaller things that we would live for what truly gives us the life you intended for us in the first place. So open our hearts before you now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to have you all here today on this long weekend. I look around and I see a few younger ones here that would typically be down in our children's ministry, but hi. with it being long weekend, we're giving our staff and, some of our staff anyway and volunteers a bit of a break. It is just amazing how week after week after week, our children's ministry is so much more than watching our kids while we're up here, but they truly are being immersed in what his life and Jesus look like. So to welcome all of our younger ones here in the service, I'm giving you a word that you can keep track of, okay? And the word is purpose. So you keep track of how many times I say the word purpose, and then you can ask your mom and dad when you get home, what is that about anyway? All right? And what is a purpose that we're supposed to live for? So that means your mom and dad have to listen even more than you do. All right? Okay, let's get going. Well, for Canadians, it was last week the goal that we celebrated across the country. Now, typically that would mean hockey, but our Canadian teams aren't doing so well this year. So now we're into basketball. We still have the Toronto Raptors alive in the NBA playoffs, and in fact, only because they pulled out that game last Sunday night in the last minute. In fact, the last second. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't, so I'm going to show it to you. Seventh game, seventh deciding game. It's been a tough series. 4 seconds left. The score is tied. And our Canadian team, the Raptors, is inbounding the ball. So here's how it went. Yes, that is slow motion. But it did take 3.5 seconds from the release of the ball till it went in. There it goes. One bounce. Two bounces. 3-4. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not showing you that just because we have a team in the playoffs, but there are many who would say 4 bounces off a rim, that's luck. Truth is, there were thousands of shots taken by Kawhi Leonard growing up on probably an outdoor court, gymnasiums, wherever he went to school. Ultimately, that shot was not the product of luck. It was the product of very purposeful preparation. You don't stroll into a gym and have that happen. You don't stroll into a gym and just get open in the midst of all those tall people, find a place to shoot, shoot over. That guy is 6'10", who had his arm in the way. Even to get that shot away so that it could hit the rim and bounce 4 times and go in is the product of a lot of purposeful preparation. Not luck. Not the product of a stroll or taking something lightly. And I think it raises a question, because in life, if somehow we want to see this life God has given us go through the bucket of purpose that he wants for us, we too have to wake up to often we're just strolling when he's calling us to a journey. I can't help but think, also last week I had a chance to go to the park with my 19-month-old granddaughter. Mm-hmm. That was fun. But it's really kind of hard knowing what she's up to. She goes to the slide, so I think, okay, she wants to go down the slide. No, she wants to pick up sand and put it on the slide. Okay, so that's the game, but you just get into that, and she points to the swing. Okay, you go over there, she wants to get in the swing. No, as soon as you lift her up, she's off over here. And that part of the park's way too big for her, but doesn't seem to matter. She doesn't really want to get on it anyway. Looking at this, looking at that. Points to the tire swing. Okay, Grandpa goes and sits down on the tire swing. She's off somewhere else. Any of you remember Family Circus, that little cartoon that followed the kids around and there was all these dotted lines? Well, I lived that. She was on a stroll. And when you're 19 months, that's okay. But then we grow up. And we are told it's time to focus. Focus on your homework. Why? So you can get a good education and get a good career, and then you can focus on your career. Okay. Why? So you can focus on your retirement. Okay. Why? That's kind of where the voice ends. We're almost left with, so you can stroll into the sunset. In fact, I was listening yesterday to a podcast, a Christian economist, and he said, you know, trained as an economist, I was told that the human being is made happy by getting enough stuff to somehow lay on the beach. And if you have that kind of freedom and enough to do it, that's life. Really? We're to focus so we can ultimately stroll? But then he also said the research is mounting in North America to say it ain't working. That this kind of lifestyle that's centered on me and what I want to do is kind of turning to crystal tang juice, it's been in the fridge too long. Ugh. The tang is out of the tang. And we start to ask the question, is there more? Is there something worth focusing on beyond getting able to stroll into what I want? this year we've said the Bible gives us an answer to that. That what we really are designed for is a life that God has, that he wants to more deeply have invade us, make us like Jesus, and that out of this growing experience of the life of Jesus in us, we start to see things differently as we look into the wide world, and the focus doesn't become me so narrow, but wide. And there's a huge purpose in God influencing others through us. Rather than a gentle stroll through life, God says, I want to give you a purposeful journey of going deeper into my life and seeing the world more widely through my eyes and being used by me to make a difference. We've been going through the book of Acts. We've taken a few breaks, but we started last September. And we come now, we've already tracked the Apostle Paul. He went on his first missionary trip. Now, these are not called Paul's vacation strolls, right? These are Paul's missionary journeys. That God's got a purposeful journey for him. And we come to Acts 16, and he's about to start his second one. If we pick it up in Acts 15, where do we go here? We can, 40, Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And he's on this journey. And it's not a dotted line. God is going to direct this line. And churches in what is now Turkey, this Asia, they're going to be strengthened and growing more. Then in a surprise move, God takes them into Europe, the southern part of Europe, and churches are going to get started in Philippi, Thessalonica. We have those books in the Bible because of this. It's going to go down into Athens, over to Corinth, two letters to the Corinthians. There's going to be a lot coming out of Paul chose Silas and left, not on a stroll, but on a journey. Today I want to focus on the beginning of the journey, just 10 verses, Acts 16, 1 to 10. Because in here we start to see what Paul's focus turns to. What is it about what God is up to that allows him to have something worth living that the tang isn't going to go out of the tang, all right? And we're going to look at four different focuses, helping us focus our journey. The first focus is this. Paul was able to focus on the potential of God. Specifically, the potential of God and the people who are around him. Let me get at this with something I came across my desk. A writer by the name of David McCullough had a plaque on his wall over his desk that he would look at. And the plaque said this: look at your fish. That's helpful. Look at your fish. So, of course, an interviewer, as they were talking about his success as a writer, said, what's the look at your fish about? And he said, well, it goes back to a guy who taught at Harvard in the 1800s. He taught science. His name was Louis Agassiz. And he had this strange assignment he would give to every one of his new students. They would come in to meet him first day, and he would pull out of a jar an old stinky fish. Real fish, very dead. Put it on a tin pan, and he would say, okay, look at your fish. And he would leave the room. A couple hours. Come back. Look at, what have you seen? And they kind of hum and haw, and I don't know. Look at your fish. And that would go on a couple days. One of his students who went on to be very successful talked about how important that was. This former student said, finally, Agassiz came in and said, look at your fish. And he said, well, here's what I've seen. I saw paired organs, the same on this side as that side, a little different here. And Agassiz went, good. Student said, what do I do next? Look at your fish. And the whole idea was open your eyes. Open your eyes. See what's right around you. When we start here, Paul is learning to open his eyes to people. I think a lot of times, I know this is true of me, I don't look at people around me often as people. I often, unfortunately, look at them almost as objects. You are the robot at the cash register who takes care of me, and hopefully the robot is efficient today. You are the nameless person who takes my order and brings my food, and hopefully it's correct and on time. It can be at a workplace where you are the person who has sat at that desk next to me, and I really don't know more about you than how we function at work. Or you are the person behind the door in the house next to me or down the hall from me. But you might as well be a number. And I wonder if God would say, look at the person. Let's see how it comes out, Acts 16. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. This part, the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Somehow, this young man, the people around him had a greater purpose than let's just teach him to stroll. Earlier, Paul had gone to these churches, started a church. It would seem Timothy's mom, grandma, Eunice and Lois, came to faith. In the 4 or 5 years that Paul had not been there, their faith has impacted Timothy. He is now a believer of Jesus. And everyone around him that knows him well is saying, there's something about him. Paul comes back to town, he's introduced, and they're said, he's got potential. And what's fascinating, verse 3, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So they did. Now, you might go, what's the big deal about that? It's kind of a difference in how Paul had just acted. Just before Paul started out and went to Derbe and Lystra, he was in Antioch, and he and Barnabas were planning this trip. And let's read what happened. Verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. Okay, Mark actually ended up writing the book of Mark eventually with them. But Paul didn't think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with him in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. That's why Paul is not on this journey with Barnabas, but with Silas. Interesting backstory. First missionary journey, this guy named John Mark had been with them. Young man. But it seems rather than seeing the potential, Paul saw him as helping me fulfill what I need to do, and something happened so that Mark deserted them. Mark wasn't able to handle it. In his youth, Mark needed to go back home. And now it's time to start again, and it's like Paul is saying, almost objectifying Mark and saying, he can't cut it what I need. Let's leave him. That's why it's so fascinating that now Paul's in a new town. There's a new young man introduced to him. And I wonder if a little bit of Barnabas is rubbing off on Paul. And he's had a little bit of time to think in the beginning of the journey, going, I don't know, I think I need to learn something from Barnabas. And now another opportunity comes. Do you see Timothy through the eyes of God? Or do you see him through your own eyes, and maybe he's a little bit young and the going could get rough and he'll leave you? But Barnabas, in his own grace toward Mark, it just seems that Paul caught it. The rest of the New Testament is a record of Paul being reconciled to Mark and Mark becoming very important to Paul. And I wonder if God had to do a little bit of work helping Paul see people, not as out there to serve my agenda, but people with dignity that I've given and I'm inviting you to come along. See what's up in their story and how I'm at work and help that happen. Timothy becomes very important in the rest of the New Testament because Paul seems to have learned a lesson. This purpose of seeing the potential of God in people. There's an old pastor by the name of Fred Craddock who talked about his grandparents, how on Sundays they would take the family for a walk. And they would slow down and just start to look at things beneath the surface. And they would use a word. They'd say, let's go marveling. Let's go marveling. Can we go marveling? Maybe when we go to the store, that person serving us is a person. They've had a day. And maybe we can interject with some life. That the people we work with have a life, a name, a story. Can we marvel that they're creations of God and have dignity and ask the kind of questions that bring us into their story? Are people just widgets and objects around us as we go through life? Or can we marvel at their potential as created by God? And we're invited to the purpose of whatever that contact is, marveling and saying, God, in the time I have, how can I dignify this as a person? And who knows where it's going to go, but that's going to take it from a stroll to a purposeful journey. So that's one focus. The second focus, he focused not just on the potential of God in people, but the heart of God. The heart of God for those people. And the heart of God that called him beyond his comfort zones and beyond his view of things to actually get out and say, God, how do you see it? What do you want me to overcome? Weird news story. With social media, someone posts something and it goes viral. And anyway, there's a while ago, what happened is this 20-year-old student is at work on a paper in her home, and her dad comes, a gym bag, and says, hey, look what's still in my gym bag. And he pulled out a stuffed toy. He said, remember you gave me this when you were two? You told me to carry it and remember you. And I've been doing it. And she was so touched, she took to social media and put, when I was two, my dad gave me a stuffed beluga whale, or I gave my dad a stuffed beluga whale to keep in his work bag, so if he ever missed me, he could hold it and think of me. 18 years later, my dad just informed me, he still brings it to work with him every day. That so touched the people who saw it that they're going, oh, news story about it. Because of the heart of a father who would go through the inconvenience of making sure he had this reminder of his daughter. That's God's heart. God's heart certainly inconvenienced himself at the cost of stepping out of heaven in the person of Jesus and dying on a cross, overcoming all of those barriers. That humility. And Jesus died for us. And now we see Paul walk in that humility. And we see the purpose it gave him. Verse 3. Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. Now, if you were here last week, you should be going, there's some disconnect. Okay? One thing that Paul is doing as he's going to these towns and cities is he's saying to them, you know what? We just had a big meeting, Acts 15, in Jerusalem, and we determined, as we prayed and thought and looked at our scriptures, that you do not need to be circumcised to have a sincere and real relationship with Jesus. You come into relationship by faith. Circumcision is not necessary. That had been a hang-up for the Jews. Got to be circumcised to be a true person of God. The church has now said, no, you don't have to be circumcised. And Paul is going from church to church saying you don't have to be circumcised. So verse 3, he circumcised Timothy. What? You see that? Why? Because of the Jews who lived in the area. See, Paul had a heart for Jewish people who do not know Jesus that was greater than him needing to be right. And he knew Timothy didn't have to be circumcised to be a Christian, but he also knew he's got this young guy. They find out his mom is Jewish, his dad is Greek. Next thing they find out, he's not circumcised, so they're already got their guard up, and Paul's going to present us something, and they're not even ready to listen because of this hang-up. And it's like Paul's saying, I'm taking that barrier down. I'm going to humble myself, and even as I'm sharing, you don't have to be circumcised. I'm going to overcome the barrier. And you see Timothy's humility. He could have said, I'm staying home. But he too recognized the love of God doesn't mean I have to live in my pride. And the challenge to us is this. Do you see how Paul was willing to go to the turf of the people he was talking to? What might we need to overcome to go to other people's turf who don't know Jesus? If our purpose is, I want to be comfortable and I'll impact God, whoever you bring into my comfortable circle, it's going to be pretty small. But maybe we have to overcome a few of our hang-ups and go to places where we don't have control and we don't have the comfort, and maybe there's things done that we're not overly comfortable with, and it doesn't mean we have to participate, but we're there because God loves them. And it certainly means overcoming judgmental anger and indifference towards people who hold positions that aren't biblical. But God loves these people. Why are we expecting them to follow our rules before they acknowledge Jesus as Lord? They're not going to do that. And maybe in our judgmentalism, we have to look, has this made me angry at people, indifferent to people, so that I've written them off, and there's certain people I wouldn't even associate with? These are hard questions. But part of God's purpose for our lives is saying, I may be calling you to places that are uncomfortable. You're not in control. People aren't going to agree with you. So how do you go, and without compromising what you believe is true, be a friend? Show you care. Paul's purpose came from God's heart, having him overcome the barriers, just as Jesus overcame the barrier of our sin and humanity at great cost. Are we willing to kind of give up control and comfort to interact with people? So that's the second focus. First one, we see the potential of God. People aren't objects. We see the heart of God. Just because a world isn't acknowledging Jesus or following him doesn't mean they have to clean up their act before we show his love. We maybe have to go where they are. Third, Paul drew purpose in his journey from the directing presence of God. That Paul, as we follow the journey, even though he had a plan, God's plan was greater. Let me get at this. Over 20 years ago, there was a weird movie came out called The Truman Show. I don't know how many of you remember it. Really strange. They created a TV world around this little baby and created a whole set, a whole town that even had like a kind of a waterfront out of it that went into the horizon, but it was all in a dome, okay, in the movie. It was all a big TV reality show that followed the life of Truman. 24 hours a day it was on, 7 days a week. And the story is about Truman waking up to the fact that there's life beyond the dome. That this world that he was put in was not all there is. And it took him a while to believe it and wake up to the fact that there's life beyond the dome. Paul drew purpose from knowing there's life beyond the dome of what we see and hear and feel. There's a world where God exists that is way bigger than that, and God wants to reach in and guide us. And I guess the question for each of us is this. We wake up in the morning, is our life constrained to the dome, or are we open to a God who's bigger than the dome? Verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Again, what's going on geographically, they've gone Lystra, Derbe, they plan going southwest down to what we know as Ephesus. Something happened to keep them from doing that. It almost seems circumstantial because there's no more given. But what's interesting, whatever it is, Paul is saying, God is in this. Just because my circumstances aren't going the way I think they should, I'm not going to complain at God, but I'm going to say, okay, God, if there's life beyond the dome, you're in control of my circumstances. The question I need to ask, what do you want me to do in the new circumstances? God opens and closes doors rather than fight it. Say, God, what are you up to? Verse 7, same thing happens again. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. Okay, so now they want to go further north, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. So now they go west, but now it's northwest. Again, life beyond the dome, and they're living life not saying, I've got my plan, God, don't interfere. Scripture has things to say about that. James 4, verse 13, it says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. You don't even know what'll happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. Wow. Paul's living example of that. Even on a missionary journey, he said, I have a plan. And God said, okay, are you willing to hold the plan loosely? I want to go southwest. God says, I want you to go north. Okay. I want to go further north. No, I want you to go west now. You know, so often, life happens. That job doesn't work out. That deal falls through. That illness comes at that time. Things just don't work out the way we should. It's so easy for us to say, why, God? And maybe he's saying, for bigger reasons than you know, I'm reaching in from beyond the dome. Rather than fight it, ask a different question. Not why not, but why? God, what are you into in this new thing? Not only does God work through circumstances, let's keep going. Verse 9. He still doesn't, they're in Troas. So now they're on the very northwest edge of what we know as Turkey. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia, southern Europe. Come over and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So not only does God work in these circumstances and things not happening according to plan, sometimes God reaches into the dome very directly. Here it's through a dream, a vision, at night. Sometimes it can be a vision. Sometimes it can be a deep sense within of God's leading. Sometimes it can be there's things going on and someone comes and says something to it and we just go, whoa. What's fascinating, in verse 10, Paul says, we concluded. It's like Paul gets other believers around and says, here's some weird stuff going on. Do you think God might be in this? And they discern that together. But God speaks. It will never be a counter to his word, but he speaks. And are we open to his word? Maybe some of the interruptions in your day are actually God. Maybe that person God has in your heart that you haven't thought of for like a month is God saying, write an email, make a phone call, ask how they're doing. Maybe that recurring dream is worth talking to other believers about to say, might God be in this? Do we really believe there's life beyond the dome? I think all of us as followers of Jesus would say, absolutely. But do we really, by how we live, believe it Monday to Saturday? Or are we creating our little life within the dome and wanting God to bless it rather than come in from outside the dome and direct it toward greater purposes? So that's a third focus. The fourth and the last one is simply this, okay? Paul's focusing his purposeful journey around first the potential of God and people. Secondly, the heart of God for people. And that means making uncomfortable decisions. Third, on the directing presence of God from outside the dome. And finally, on the need for God that exists in the people around him. I want to read you something. This is some advertising. It's not here. That's all right. I'll just share with you what it's about. There's something I picked up, some advertising, that says to this effect, do you want to know what will make life make sense? Come on out and find out. I wish I could read it for you word for word. And if I were to ask you where you think it might be from, it could be any church seminar. But it's actually part of the advertising for Oprah, who is coming to town in June. She's going to sell out Rogers Place. And we could say many things about that. But what I want to say about that is the kind of questions that she is saying she will answer are such that people are going to go, I want answers. And where they won't go to the church, they'll go to Oprah. And I think we in the church need to wake up and say, whoa, we've got answers not from a human start, but from God. And I don't even know the people around me are asking them, but they're buying tickets to this kind of stuff. There is a need for God, a hunger for God in our world. Success of people like Oprah and like many others with their books in the self-help section of chapters are showing that there is a voracious hunger for bigger answers. Do we recognize that the people around us are asking the questions? This is what we see in Acts 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Okay, so Paul is sitting in northwest of Turkey, right up here is southern Europe. Someone from southern Europe, Macedonia, in this vision is saying, come help us. Now, here's what we know about Macedonia, southern Macedonia, from a circumstantial perspective, they were doing pretty good. There weren't a lot of needs there. City of Philippi was there. Roman colony, wealthy. They had everything. But here this man says, we have everything, but it's not enough. We got our wealth. We got Rome. We got all the security of Rome. We got a spring. We got a medical school, but come help us because it's not enough. Paul had to realize that beneath the exterior, there are questions being asked. And are we willing to say, God, help me ask those questions in my own life and get answers from you so I'm living it and I have something to share, but then help me go into a world and just not take people at face value, but pray, God, open my heart, my eyes, my ears to see what's really going on in people's lives. And if that, again, means crossing the barrier and saying, hey, how you really doing? You're not forcing anything. God's in control. But am I willing to get beneath the surface with myself, with other believers I know, and with people who don't know Jesus, and just see where God takes it? Because without Jesus, we may have everything, and it'll never be enough. So what turned Paul's journey from a stroll across Asia and Europe to purposeful? It's focus. Focusing on the potential of God and people. God, help me not objectify people. Help me go marveling when I see people. It's the heart of God. God, help me not be so stuck on my comfort and my being right that I live in judgment instead of compassion for the world. It's the direct presence of God. God, help me see there's reality beyond the dome, and you want to reach in and guide me as I'm, instead of fighting circumstances, taking them from you, and as I'm open to that leading of your Holy Spirit in some ways that are beyond my own understanding. And then finally, that I recognize there is a need for you in my life, fellow believers, and the world. And I ask your Spirit to show me that and bring people to you for the answer. That'll put the tang back in the tang. Let's pray. God, thank you that you call us to life that means something. Father, even our culture, it's a long weekend. Summer is starting. Time for a leisurely stroll. And yes, it's time for renewal, and it's time to enjoy creation, and it's time for all of that. But that's not going to give us life. Your purpose is going to give us life. So God, we look to you. We need you. You are the breath in our lungs. And may we look to you not to bless small agendas, but to enliven your purpose anew and the kind of life that comes from that. Let's stand together. We'll have our prayer team available. If you want to come and pray with anyone, they'd love to do that. Let's close our time. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank that we can look to you not just for strength, but for the direction that strength can go. Lord, open our eyes to marvel at the people you put around us, to see you even in the shift of circumstances we don't get. To be led, to be directed, to see beyond the masks. God, that your purpose would more and more overtake our lives, we pray through Jesus our Lord. Amen.